Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Network. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison. Evan, I kind of made a bold statement at the end of last night's show, and you were sharing a story. The Red Light Sports Network jinx happened again last night, which we'll talk about after I ask how your day was. So how was your day?
Well, ultimately, the Red Light Sports Network jinx struck again. And that just, you know, I think it was a couple of years ago you and I were doing a show while the Athletics and the Royals are playing the wild card play-in game. And we were on the air talking about how the Athletics had advanced to the next round, only to have the Royals come back and win it by the end of the show. So the Red Light Sports Network jinx struck again. So, you and I
we can fill the list.
You know, I'm looking at it and I'm trying to figure out what team I want to win the World Series. And I'm going to let you know, so you pick the opposites. That's what we're going to do, okay? How's your day going in Western PA?
it's going good, you know. After I had to man up, and I man up when I make a mistake. I really do. I even put it in the title that I jinxed the Giants. And I know probably every Giant fan that listens to our show probably hates me. And so I'm sorry. But when the show is ending, Evan, I mean, honestly, 5-2 lead going to the top of the ninth, I felt pretty good about saying the Giants won. I know their bullpen isn't great. It has not been great. It's let them down in the past. But I don't care how bad you are. You gave up 4 runs in the top of the ninth. And I guess, you know, we look at this, and I'm going to throw this out to you. I was listening to Talk Radio 93.7 The Fan out here in Pittsburgh today. And one of the things that came up, Evan, I want to get your thoughts. Why the heck didn't he bring Bumgarner in? He did it last time they won the World Series, pretty much pitched him in every game. It's a game you've got to win. There's no tomorrow. You know, that came up. Why not throw Bumgarner in there after, you know, you got yourself in trouble? So I wanted to get your quick thoughts on that. But it was, I mean, you can look at it one of two ways, Evan, before I turn it over to you. You can look at it as a great comeback by the Cubs and a great top of the ninth for them. Or you can look at it as an epic collapse of the Giants, depending on what side you're on. I think it's a combination of both. I mean, the Cubs have a good offensive team, and they just took advantage of it in the top of the ninth, and the Giants' bad bullpen contributed to that. But back to the question, what do you think about that statement about possibly bringing in Bumgarner there to close this game out and try to get to game 5?
Well, I get why they didn't, but I think it would have been good if they did, because they wanted to save him for game 5. You have a three-run lead going into the ninth inning. I'm sure that's the last thought on your mind is bringing in, you know, Madison Bumgarner. You're going to let your bullpen figure it out. But unfortunately, this bullpen that they have is horrible. They had over 30 blown saves this year, the Giants bullpen. And like I said, they wanted to save him for game 5. Then you got Johnny Cueto and Madison Bumgarner to basically, you know, give you 9 innings combined in order to win. And those are two very good pitchers. And, you know, just unfortunately for the Giants, it just didn't work out, the choices. And, you know, you can chalk this loss to the manager. You really can't. The manager for the Giants, he got all coached. he got in panic mode when nothing seemed to be going right, and he just ultimately got out coached. You know, you look at his, what he did in the ninth inning. I'm gonna pull up the stats really quick. You know, after Moore went eight innings, I would have gave Moore another inning. Yeah, I think he was at 102 pitchers, I think. Yeah, Moore's at 120 pitchers. So you can get at least through maybe one to two more batters with Moore. You know, this is the season. You got to win. But they go Law, Lopez, Romo, and Will Smith, and then Strickland all in the ninth inning. They went five pitchers in the ninth inning. Five pitchers in the ninth to try, and they couldn't get three outs with five pitchers. It just shows you it just wasn't the Giants' day. And I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm a Brewer fan. I don't personally want to see the Cubs win the World Series. However, I do got to say, though, Troy, Joe Maddon is a great manager. You know, he's just a great manager. He's a very smart man. You know, the guy that works in the Milwaukee market, who I work with, Mike Plummins, was telling this story. He was covering game, I think it was 161 last year, maybe 162 last year. And the Cubs and Brewers are playing at Miller Park. It's the last series of the year. And, Joe Maddon's supposed to talk to the media. So he's waiting, and he's waiting, and no Joe. So they look over, and he has the entire team huddled around home plate. Has the entire team huddled around there, and he's going over the basics of bunting in game 162. Who does that? It's 162. Why are we going over the basics of bunting? But he thought it was important enough to pull everyone together, go over and talk about it. That's just how good of a manager he is. I wouldn't be overly upset if Joe Maddon won a World Series, but unfortunately, the Cubs are winning. But he talked about that the Cubs would face adversity. The Cubs would face something bad, and it's going to be a matter of how they respond when they face something bad, and they responded well. They were down three runs in the top of the ninth inning. The Giants just had to get those three out, and the Cubs came back to win and won the series. So I don't know who the Cubs' opponent is going to be yet. We find that out tomorrow when the Dodgers and the Nationals face game five in their playoff series. But if I was a betting man, I would guess they'd probably play the Dodgers. That's who I'm betting on tomorrow. I think the Dodgers get the win. That's going to be a tough series for the Cubs against the Dodgers. And it's hard to say this because the Cubs always seem to find a way to screw it up. But I think this could be the year for the first time in quite some time, the Cubs are going to have a National League pennant. 1945 is their last NL pennant. 1908 is obviously their last World Series win. And there's just something about this Cubs team, some aura around them. And either the aura around them is going to come back and bite them on the ass, like it seems to always do, or that aura that they seem to have around them is going to carry this team into the World Series. And I need to see for sure what team they're going to play before I truly make that prediction. But I just, as of right now, I'm not betting against the Cubs at the moment. So, you look at the Cubs, look at the series against the Giants, the mistakes that the Giants made in that game. Just what are your thoughts on this Cubs team and then the Giants' decisions late in the game yesterday?
Yeah, well, the Cubs have a solid team, and we knew that coming in. The expectations were World Series. And they've got a very good roster top to bottom. I mean, even some of these guys that are probably not household names, the guy that I really like on the Cubs, Evan, I know people talk about Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Jake Arrieta, Dexter Fowler. The guy that I really like on the Cubs is Javier Baez. This guy, when I watch him play, I just like him. You know, he's one of those guys that will go in, and he reminds me of the gritty old guy that is going to go out and get his jersey dirty and do the little things to help you win. And it really comes down to what you said. Joe Maddon is just an excellent coach. We talked about it when the Cubs hired him. You said watch out NL Central. It won't be long before the Cubs are meaningful in this division. And now you've got a good general manager putting some pieces together, and they've got good young talent. This team's not going away anytime soon, Evan. And I think Joe Maddon has found a home. And if the Cubs would get to the World Series, and if they would win the World Series, Joe Maddon will be bigger than the mayor of Chicago. That would be something that fans will never forget. And basically at that point, Joe Maddon will probably be the coach of the Cubs forever. But like you said, not sure who they're going to play yet. The only game five left in baseball, Washington versus L.A., quite an entertaining series of them. With the Dodgers and the Nationals, and kind of what I expected, you know, some runs, some power. You look at the pitching staffs, and the Dodgers have been one of those teams that quietly just, you know, went out and consistently just kept winning as the Giants had a bad second half of the season. You know, I think the Giants were kind of holding on to hope and, you know, some mystique, as they didn't play really good baseball in the second half of the season. It would have been quite amazing had they went to a game five to see what Cueto and Bumgarner could have done. But the Giants basically used starting pitching. Like you said, their bullpen was horrid all year. They're lucky they even made the playoffs, to be honest, the way their bullpen was. But that National Dodger series should be a good game five. Should be a really good game five. I don't think the Dodgers have named their starter yet at this point. And, you know, it's one of those things where they had thrown out Kershaw in the last game because, you know, a must-win there. So it's going to be interesting to see which team will take on the Cubs. But I think the Cubs right now, a very solid team, and they, you know, they went on and got Chapman as the closer. And you pretty much knew it was over after the Cubs got the lead in the top of the ninth. He is an amazing closer. I want to switch over, though, to the AL, Evan. And going back to last week when we talked about it, I had mentioned I just liked Cleveland. I liked the way they played. You know, I know they're full of injuries, but they've just got a baseball team. There's just something about Cleveland that I like. I think it was the night that you were unable to make the show, and I talked a little bit of baseball. There's nothing that I'm going to pinpoint to say this is why the Cleveland Indians should win, other than they're just reminding me of I'm going to go back to, like I said, with Baez. They play baseball. They go out, they have fun, they do the little things, they play good baseball. Now, they're going up against the Toronto team, Evan, that can just knock the snot out of the ball. 10 home runs in the ALDS. 7 different players hit home runs. There is no doubt that this team can put runs on the board and crooked numbers in the innings at any time. 7 different players, Evan. It was a record. 7 players hit home runs in that DS series. And 10 home runs in that series, and this is the wild card team, and neither one of these teams have lost yet, Evan. They both swept their DS series. Of course, the Blue Jays had to win the wild card. Cleveland, though, there's just, you talk about the Chicago Cub mystique, Evan, there just seems to be something circling around Cleveland. Maybe it's the magic of the Cavaliers going over now to the Indians. But they quietly put together over 90 wins during the regular season. And I like the way they play baseball, but they have a tough series against the Blue Jays. At the end of the day, though, I will throw this out before I turn it back over to you and get your thoughts. 7 games during the regular season, these two played against each other. The Indians won the series 4-3 in the regular season. Now, that's different than the playoffs. I understand that. But the Indians did beat the Blue Jays 4-3 in the regular season. What are your thoughts on this American League Championship Series?
Well, I think it's going to be a very interesting series. You got the high-powered high-powered offense of the Blue Jays, led by Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. And you got the Indians who just seem to find ways to win. They got a lot of injuries right now, a lot of, you know, injury issues at the moment, and they just always find ways to win. And it should be a very scrappy game, I think. And I look at it this way, and I'm looking at this. Normally, you know, you take good pitching over good hitting any day. But I just have a hard time picturing Cleveland moving past this round. I just think that the injuries that they've suffered at the end of the year, I think are going to come up and sneak up on them. I think it's going to be a competitive series. But outside of Kluber, who else does Cleveland have in their, you know, starting rotation that can really shut down this this Blue Jay team? And there's a few guys on this Blue Jay team that's had some good success against Kluber. Josh Donaldson's a career .375 hitter against him in 16 at bat with a home run and 5 RBIs. Jose Bautista, the .333 hitter with 9 at bats and 4 home runs. You got Navarro, the .287 career hitter. There's some guys that have some success against them. Michael Saunders, the .375 career hitter. And then you look at the Indians, you know, career with Marco Estrada, there's not a lot of success there against Estrada. And I know the Blue Jays typically don't dominate with pitching, but I think they just got the better pitching depth right now over Cleveland, you know, with their injuries. And I know Toronto's Francisco Laureano, a concussion could be a problem. But when I'm trying to pick a winner here, I got to take the Blue Jays in six or seven. I think the Cleveland's miracle run, because the miracle run started really right after I think Cleveland won the NBA championship. They went on like a huge winning streak, and that's when they really took control of the division. And I think that magical run come to an end against the Blue Jays. I just like the Blue Jays in this situation better. I think that the Indians have a great manager and Terry Francona, but I'm just putting my money on the Blue Jays. But here's the thing, though, too. Can the world really handle a Cleveland Indian and Chicago Cub World Series? The two longest droughts there are. The Indians, I think, haven't won the series since the 50s, and the Cubs since 1908. Can the world, Troy, really handle a Cubs Indians World Series? I think
the
earth might just blow up.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. You look, and I know we don't talk a lot of politics on this show, but you look at the crazy presidential race. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the world of baseball to have a Chicago-Cleveland World Series. Like I said, you know, I look at it, and it's tough for Cleveland. But this is a team, Evan, where I'm now looking, and I'm going to go back to what I was saying before. There's just something I can't pinpoint about Cleveland. I just like the way they play baseball. And when it comes to playoff time, I know you're saying, who do they have beyond Kluber? No one. But they've put together 94 wins. And I'm going to maybe be in the minority, and I'm going to take Cleveland over Toronto. And the reason I am is I'm going to say that it's going to come down to guys digging deep, playing outside of their mind, and getting it done. Now, it's going to be tough. I really think that this could be a series, honestly, Evan, that if things don't go Cleveland's way, they could be done in four. Toronto, I mean, the offensive firepower they have is just amazing. If these games get into 5, 6, 7 runs, it's all Toronto. But the pitchers, if they can step up, find some adrenaline, keep the hitters off balance, you're going to give up home runs. That's what Toronto does. But just to be different, I'll take the Cleveland Indians. And it's funny because I think of the Cleveland Indians, and every time I think of the Cleveland Indians, I think of the movie Major League. That, I really do. And that's probably not the right analogy, but that's what I think of. But moving on, Evan, unless you have anything else baseball related, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, and we definitely wanted to talk a little bit of college football. Our beloved Badgers, for those that are loyal listeners, know Evan and I hail from, well, I'm from Wisconsin, don't live there anymore. Evan is from Wisconsin, lives in Wisconsin. We are huge Badger fans. Talked about the Badger football team before the season started. Our expectations were not very high for a team that was going to play a lot of young guys, a lot of new faces on the offensive line and different skill positions. The expectations, Evan, were not high. But so far in this young season, they have quadrupled my expectations. They've gained a top 10 ranking, four Big Ten teams in the top 10, and they take on number two Ohio State. And at the beginning of the year, you looked at this game, Ohio State versus Wisconsin. People were probably not even looking at this game as any relevance at all in the Big Ten. And now it has a lot of meaning, not only for the Badgers, Evan, but for Ohio State. Because should Ohio State, I mean, for Ohio State to have Wisconsin ranked number eight when they're playing them, that is going to look really good when it comes down to this playoff system as a quality win should they beat the Badgers, depending on what they do the rest of the season. But for the Badgers, Evan, this is kind of that test. How much are they for real? You look at this defense, Evan, and it is one heck of a defense. You look at the likes of an LSU. I know they've struggled. They fired their coach. They've got some offensive firepower, held them to 14 points. Michigan State, 6 points. Michigan held them to 14 points. This is a darn good defense. My only concern about going up against Ohio State is, do they have enough offensively to win the game? I know the defense is going to come to play, though, Evan. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first off, Madison is going to be rocking on Saturday. It's the, you know, Camp Randall Stadium, under the lights. It's going to be rocking. That's going to be a very exciting atmosphere, and the crowd's going to be fired up. And I hope Wisconsin can keep it competitive. I think Wisconsin's defense against any team in the country, I think they have a defense that can't compete against anybody in the country. Here's the problem with Wisconsin. Their offense, not good. Hornibrook did play pretty well against Michigan State in his first career start, but against Michigan, he looked truly like a freshman. He looked like a freshman quarterback. That's what he looked like. He looked like a freshman, and he didn't play well. His team around him didn't play well. And at the end of the day, Wisconsin lost. And it's a game they easily could have won against Michigan. Now, I had said Wisconsin was going to lose to LSU and wasn't going to be close. I was wrong. I had predicted Wisconsin would probably lose to Michigan State, but it would be very, very close. And I was right there. And I said Wisconsin would beat Michigan by 7. But I said that, you know, if Wisconsin did lose, I was not going to take the spread. Yeah, I think it was like a 11.5 point spread last week with Wisconsin and Michigan, and I didn't like that 2 weeks ago with Wisconsin and Michigan, and I didn't like that number. Ohio State, Wisconsin, 10 points. Wisconsin are 10-point underdog. Now, I'm not saying Wisconsin is going to win. I don't think they have the horses to top Ohio State, but if I was making a bet, I was betting against, you know, if Wisconsin was going to beat the spread or Ohio State was going to cover, I would put my money on Wisconsin. I'm not saying I put my money on Wisconsin to win, but a 10-point difference in this game, when on Saturday there is a chance for rain in Madison, and Michigan, I mean, Ohio State runs an offense that's a spread-oriented attack, the Badgers could definitely force some turnovers. And the key in this game is going to be obviously forced turnovers, and they can't turn the ball over. That's what they did against Michigan too much. They turned the ball over way too much, and they got to get Corey Clement involved. Corey Clement needed to have a strong game. He came back for his senior year because his junior year didn't end how he wanted it to end due to injury. He came back for his senior year. They need Corey Clement to be the Corey Clement that he's shown that he can be, which is a complete stud, a complete stud running back. And that's what they need him to be. And I don't know if it's a matter of he hasn't trusted the offensive line with the holes or what. But the other thing, Paul Chris needs to run a similar game plan than he ran against Michigan State. Against Michigan State, Wisconsin was, you know, with the game plan they were running, they kept Michigan State on their heels. Fast forward a week against Michigan, rather than dictating to Michigan what they wanted to do on offensive, they were on their heels, adapting to what Michigan was bringing to them instead of bringing the fight to Michigan. And this is a game Wisconsin needs to bring the fight to Ohio State. But I think Ohio State could still win, but I just think Wisconsin keeps it closer than 10. And if it is a 10-point difference, it's because Ohio State steals a touchdown late in the game. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Evan. Like I said, I love the Badgers, and I'd love to be a Badger homer and say, yeah, the Badgers are going to win this game. Now, the way that my luck goes, though, so that's probably good for Badger fans listening, you know, think that the Badgers aren't going to win. That's probably a good omen. I'm going to tell you the keys to this game, Evan. You brought one up, and that's the way it happens on this show. You always take one of my ideas. Clement has to basically run for 200 yards. If he runs for 200, that means the Badgers are controlling the clock. The other key to this game is this defense. This defense needs to score a touchdown. They need to get points on the defensive end of the ball. So I hope it rains cats and dogs, Evan. I hope it comes down in sheets. I hope it rains. I hope it rains hard. Sorry for the fans that are going. It probably won't be comfortable. But I hope it rains tremendously, Evan. And I hope it rains from kickoff to the end whistle, because that will favor the Wisconsin defense more than ever. And I think the only way they win this game is if the Badger defense can stick one in the end zone. The offense has a lot of work. I mean, you're talking about an offensive line that has been totally revamped. They're getting better game by game. They're getting snaps. They're getting playing time. But you hit it right on the head. This offense is not very good. Not good at all. Excuse me, I had to sneeze there for a minute. So, you know, I think for the Badgers to win this, Evan, I'm with you, though. Take the spread. I think the Badgers' defense can keep them in the game. But for them to actually win this game, they've got to control the ball by running, which is going to be tough against this Ohio State defense. But the defense, if the defense can come up with a score, Evan, I think that is what could propel them to knock off number two Ohio State. But I'm not jumping on the bandwagon saying I give Wisconsin a great chance. This is going to be a tough game. Defensively, they're going to be able to hang in there. But they, like you, on offense, they just don't have it offensively right now. So that's all I have there. And as I look at the clock, show's already over, Evan. What else you got before we end the show?
I got nothing else to add. Just make sure you listen tomorrow when we preview Packers-Cowboys. It should be a big game on Sunday, the best running game in the NFL versus the best running defense in the NFL. So that will be a fun game to discuss. So with that, I don't have anything else to add. So I'm going to throw it over to you to let our great listeners go.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show tomorrow night. Like you said, Packer preview, and we're definitely going to talk about best rushing attack in the NFL against the best run defense. Will one of them prevail? Or, you know, I don't know how you could call it a push. I guess you could, but we'll talk about it tomorrow night. So hope you enjoy the show tonight, everyone. Make sure you get at us on Twitter, at Red Light Sports, at Evan Witt Sports. Drop us your comments. We'd love to talk about what you want us to talk about. And join us tomorrow night on the show. If you're listening in, feel free to give us a call. Write the number down, 646-915-8254. If you're a Packer fan, Cowboy fan, call in tomorrow night with your keys to the game. Again, 646-915-8254. 8254. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Have a good night, everyone. We'll get back at you tomorrow night.